Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're going to close out hour two of the program with, as always, our good friend Hugh Weber, SDPB contributor and host of the Potluck Society. That's a podcast. You can listen online at listen.sdpb.org, or you can download the podcast, subscribe to it wherever you find your podcasts, iTunes, etc. Hugh Weber joins us now. Hi, Hugh. All right. Welcome back. It's Tuesday. It's Potluck Society Helping Day, and you're bringing us back to an old prank call expanded, right?
Yeah, that's right. A couple weeks back, we had Emily Paulson and Russ Carpenter on a call on an episode, and we talked about the idea of improv. And one of the things we did in the action anecdote at the end, and you and I later did on the radio, was to make an unexpected call and talk to someone. And that person that we called was Gail Mathias Wirth. She's actually a native of Sioux Falls. She was Emily Paulson's aunt, but I got to tell you, noteworthy, extraordinary herself. She grew up here, later went on to star in theater and on TV, and ultimately probably her most well-known act was as Saturday Night Live's co-anchor of Weekend Update in the 1980s. But we took the opportunity to make an episode all alone for her because she was so much more worthy than just kind of as the afterthought at the end. She shares a bit in this first clip of her background in improv and how her work has kind of evolved over time, but that it still serves her well. I want to make a note, because otherwise you're going to think my audio is terrible, that she does some self-editing when it comes to her age and the year she was in college. So you're going to hear her muffle her voice as she speaks.
All right. Can't even believe how many years I've done this. I've done it since I've done improvisation since I was in college in the mid. Yeah, well, anybody who knows me knows how old I am. But anyway, I've done it since college at Gustavus Adolphus College in southern Minnesota. And then I don't think I did much of it in Minneapolis. And then when I got to LA, I got in another improv group out in LA. Then I ended up on Saturday Night Live. And then I came back and got rather serious about studying acting as well as improv at that time. But you know, as I've grown older, I think I've gotten better and better at improvisation because I so don't care anymore. I'm not exactly career building, but I do find it what's so intriguing to me. I mean, I love a good script. I just finished a fabulous theatrical experience at the Falcon Theater in Toluca Lake, and we were allowed to do some warm-ups and some fun improvisation. Most of the people in the cast had come from a very strong comedic and or improv background. And it has served me so well throughout my career, whether it's cartoons or voiceovers or for radio or industrials or television or whatever. When you have that skill of being able to make stuff up on the spur of the moment and not be necessarily fixed to a script or rely entirely on a script, I think it's, for me, it's the most freeing. It's the biggest part of my skill set that I have. I haven't had as much serious acting training as I have all these many, many years of improvisation. And that kind of freedom to be on stage and not know where you're going and to be without a net. And I find it actually quite freeing. I talk to other actors who are just frozen in fear. They go, no, somebody has to write the words and I have to speak them. I can't believe what you do, Gail. I can't believe you've been in that group for decades. And it is truly, really quite elevating and freeing. And that's great. I've done it more than anything, more than straight plays or musicals or whatever.
You live in life without a net.
Yeah, you know, I'm beginning to sense, I re-listened to a lot of the earlier episodes over the last couple of weeks for the Potluck Society, I'm beginning to sense this not so subtle trend where people talk about what it is that they do, but it's all metaphors for life, right? She says that she's gotten to this point where she doesn't care anymore. I don't actually think that's completely true. I think that she's just kind of shed the barriers of youth and the inhibitions and the insecurity that comes with being young or being inexperienced. And she's just gotten to this point where she's able to just kind of jump in the deep end of things,
right,
and bring that spirit.
All right. What's next from her?
So Emily, her niece, really sees Gail as her inspiration. And so Emily jumped in kind of mid-episode, jumped in mid-conversation and shared just a little bit of the insights that Gail had given her. And this kind of sparks Gail to share some wisdom about an idea of no motion.
I've always learned from you, Gail, like just give it some energy, just give it some space. Just, you know, give something some space, whether it be a life problem or interaction or relationship or whatever. And I think that goes into improv too. Like sometimes you just have to let it be silent and nobody's saying anything and there isn't a lot of movement. You always say those kind of things.
Yes, in reference to our lives, there is a thing, and then also having been trained in, I mean, this group that I've been in for, as I smear my mouth, the Spolin players for all these decades, we took we were the last group to be trained by Viola Spolin, who is by all intents and purposes the mother of improvisation in United States. So there is a saying and a thing that is super valuable if in the side coaching of good improv groups will, you know, be paying attention to your fellow player on stage. And that is the term no motion, which doesn't mean freeze. It doesn't mean freeze, but it can apply. Like, I think what you're getting around to, Emily, is the no motion in your life. When you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't make up a decision. I said, yeah, suspend, no motion. Just, you can be in the place where you don't, there is space. You can take a breath. You can be quiet. And sort of flipping back and forth between life and being on stage and no motion. That is one time, sometimes the best side coach you can give to an actor who is on stage in the middle of an improvisation. And you can see the deer in headlights kind of look where, oh my God, I don't know where I'm going. And you can just say, no motion. And the actor will go, oh God, thank God, somebody's watching me. I have a fellow player who's looking out for me. So in a way, Auntie Gail has done that for Emily.
Yes.
My little Molly.
Yes, yes.
But it is true. I mean, in that kind of thing, sometimes the best decision is no decision. If you can't make a decision, don't make the decision. It's like no emotion.
I love this idea. And I actually, after having the conversation a couple weeks ago, I took it to my 8-year-old and just said, you know, those moments where you start to feel the frustration building up, is would it be helpful if I looked and just kind of said, like, I see you're getting frustrated, like, you know, no motion. And she got it. It is such a universal concept. The other part of it that I think, again, not to totally kill this idea of everything being a metaphor for life, but she says that it's enough sometimes to just be seen by the fellow players, to just have someone acknowledge that they see you, whether it's that they see you succeeding or failing or struggling, that there's something in that ability, that moment of being seen that connects us in a way that's truly human.
Hmm. We say let it breathe at our house. Just let it breathe for a minute.
That's right. You know, the last piece that I want to touch on, it's a brief clip, but she kind of continues on after this idea of no motion and adds a slight kind of insight that I think is beautiful and is a good way for us to wrap up. So this idea of the moments in between the highlights that I'd love to play a clip from Gail.
Well, one of the things that Viola used to say to us, she said, and this is really going back on some ancient technology, but think, and I don't know how old you are, Hugh, but envision, oh God, this is really an old image. No, it's not the daguerreotype. It's a film strip. She said a lot of times the stuff between the images can be the most interesting. And again, those are like those little canisters. Oh my God, those little film strips. Oh yeah, yeah, I'm really aging myself. Garfield, grade school.
And this is a brief thought, but it was something that struck me. You know, you and I have talked about some photos, and I talk about in this episode some photos I recently came across of a woman in a first image standing at the base of Mount Rushmore in heels with a sign that says "Don't climb," and the second image of her on top of Mount Rushmore having climbed.
And
I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine the interesting moments that happened between the ground and the top of Washington's head. And you know, this is what I think Gail is pointing to, that so much of it, especially in the social media world, so much of it is those images that we tend to summarize people's lives by. But the stuff that happens in between is where we live, and it's where we act, and it's where we create and grow.
That's Hugh Weber. He's an SDPB contributor, host of In the Moment. That's a podcast. You can find it at listen.sdpb.org, or you can subscribe and download wherever you source your podcasts. Hugh Weber, always a delight. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.